Chapter 19. Seek His Presence. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. This quote, made over 2,500 years ago by the prophet Jeremiah, lays the responsibility of seeking God clearly on us. The verb seek is an active verb. God has promised always to be with us. Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always, to the end of the age." Matthew 28:20b. God is omnipresent. He is always near to everything. We can trust in that promise because we are told many different places in the Bible to seek the Lord. So, what does that mean? In an article in Desiring God, John Piper says, "Both the Old and New Testaments say it is a setting of the mind and heart on God. It is the conscious fixing or focusing of our mind's attention and our heart's affection on God. He wants us to be actively involved in seeking His presence. He is available to all, but we must take the initiative in deepening a relationship. God desires us to search for Him." What does focus on God involve? There are so many distractions in our lives. Focusing on anything is a challenge. For me, it must be my first thought of the day as I wake up. I'm a morning person, and I'm more alert when I first wake up. For those who are not morning people, pick a time that works for you and schedule your time with the Lord as an appointment. The hour of the day is unimportant, but consistency is. I have my Bible app all set up on my phone, so I do not have to search for what I want to read. Then I have my daily guidepost close at hand. I like to read both devotional and then actual Bible verses. If time is rushed, the Bible app will read the plan that you have selected to you. Because this book is about what I wish I could always do, I must admit that I do not always make this appointment with the Lord, but it is something at which I attempt to be consistent. I certainly know that when I do read or listen, everything goes much more smoothly. There is no right or wrong way to seek the Lord. We are all created with unique personalities, learning styles, and gifts. For many years, I tried to fit myself into a mold of seeking God that was not a good fit for me. All it did was frustrate me, and I felt like I could never develop a relationship with the Lord. In his book called Sacred Pathways, Gary Thomas talks about 9 ways that one can connect with the Lord. Here they are, the sacred pathways. Naturalist finds God in nature. Ascetic is drawn to a disciplined life. Traditionalist loves historical liturgies. Activist comes alive spiritually with a great cause. Caregiver meets God in serving. Sensate senses God through the 5 senses. Enthusiast loves to grow through people. Contemplative is drawn to solidarity, reflection, and prayer. Intellectual loves God by learning. When I read these, it was very freeing. I realized I am an intellectual in the way I connect with the Lord. That term frightened me because I do not think of myself as an intellectual. However, I do love to read and learn about God. I'm happiest when I'm preparing a lesson or even doing the research to write this book. It was clear what pathways are not for me. I love people, so enthusiast would also fit, as would naturalist, but none of the others work very well for me. The important thing is to find your pathway and develop a plan on how you will seek the Lord. John Maxwell tells us to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. There are 3 foundations we must understand. 1. Intimacy with the Lord is not automatic, a result of right choices. 2. Intimacy with God begins with our own submission, humility, and brokenness. And 3. We naturally oppose God, and we must make our move toward Him. God is always there for us, but we choose the depth of our relationship. As you know from the story of my conversion, I left the Lord for several years. He was always there, waiting patiently for me to return. But I had to choose to return to Him. I had to submit and release my control to him, something I have done many times more. It is so easy to focus on our accomplishments and not acknowledge from whence they have come. Denying the Lord is simple and extremely easy. It requires no work on your part. However, it is ever so challenging to show your faith by your actions. Just accept now that despite your good intentions, you will fail. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So, what do these words, "these things," in the above quote refer? We look back at the previous verses in chapter 6 in this book and see that Jesus is telling us not to worry about anything. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need and will provide it. In the next verse in Matthew 6:34, Jesus further says, "Therefore, do not worry, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." That says to me that when we focus on the Lord, everything we worry about passes. When we are seeking his kingdom, everything else falls away. Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps moving as long as you pump it, but it does not get you anywhere. Worry robs you of your peace and can cause major health issues. Most things about which we worry, we have no effect on changing. We need to get out of our rocking chair and start moving. All worry does is hamper our forward motion. Sometimes that inertia just stops us from ever getting moving. If worry is something that plagues you, really read the Bible. Read how God has been in the rescuing mode for thousands of years, and know he can rescue you too. This does not mean that we should try to push everything off on God. I have known people who would wait forever and not get anything done. One of my favorite expressions is, "Not even God can steer a parked car." To be steered, the car must be in motion, or at least out of park. Have you ever known someone who uses waiting on the Lord as an excuse? God wants us to seek him and try to discern his will for us. However, God is also waiting for us to take the wheel. He will let us drive until we ask for help. When we know we need help, we need to humble ourselves and ask for his help. Seeking God should be as urgent as looking for a lost valuable possession. I wear a beautiful diamond ring with two stones. I inherited the larger one from my aunt. For years, I did not know what to do with it. I already had an engagement ring with a beautiful but smaller diamond. For our 25th wedding anniversary, my husband and I had a setting designed so that I could wear both diamonds. Both diamonds were in a 6-prong Tiffany setting. It was a beautiful ring. At that time, I operated a swim school in Southern California. On a particular day, I was leading the early morning Bible study we called the Early Word. More about that in the chapter on study. I got up early to make the coffee, sat down to say a quick prayer, look at the lesson, and I noticed my ring while my hands were folded in my lap. Staring at me was a large, empty gap surrounded by 6 prongs. I cannot begin to tell you how ugly that looked. At first, I was most dismayed, to put it mildly. I asked for prayer to find that diamond. After the group left, my husband and I tore the bed apart. We searched the house high and low, but to no avail. I decided it was just a thing, and I had to give it up. Besides, it was a busy day, and I had to give a speech that night at the University of Southern California. That did not stop me from ruminating about it all day long and going through my previous day's steps. Rather than getting directions on how to drive to USC, I just started driving, thinking I already knew how to get there. Well, I did not. Driving and being preoccupied with my thoughts about where my diamond could be, suddenly I realized I was going out of my way. Instead of going the more direct route, I found myself driving by the YWCA, where I had taught swim classes the night before. I was still ahead of schedule and decided to stop in and see if I had lost the stone in the locker room. I stopped by the pool to ask the teacher if she'd seen it. To talk to her, I looked down in the water. Wow, there it was, brightly shining up at me, about an inch from the drain. I had a vision of that time long ago when I sat by the sea and saw the glimmering, rising sun making the water sparkle like many diamonds. I just really wanted that one back. The teacher dove under and retrieved it for me. It was a miracle to still be there. The pool was small and shallow, and anyone could have kicked it unintentionally into the drain. To put it mildly, I was ecstatic. This is all to illustrate trust in the Lord and seek with all your heart. I prayed to find that lost gem, but I also went into action. I thought about nothing else but where that diamond could be. Then I accepted the situation and let the Lord lead me. Just think about what could happen if I would always seek the Lord with that kind of focus.